Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3 tonight. Would you go there? 1 Timothy chapter 3. As you're turning, I want to say a couple of things. One, next week we will pass out some data sheets. Say, what are data sheets? Well, it's where we collect data from you. Things like, you know, your contact info, your name, your birthday. Because, yes, we'd like to give you a birthday gift when that comes. All right, you say, now, Brother Scott, my birthday was during the summer, and we didn't have any teen time. Does that mean we're not going to celebrate my birthday? We will celebrate it. Great news tonight, all right? And we'll play catch-up on the summer birthdays here in the next week or so. It'll probably be in 2 weeks because we've got to get those data sheets in, figure out when everybody's birthday is, and you get the chance to write something down that you would like. Now, let me just go ahead and give you some instructions on what qualifies. A new car does not qualify. You may like that, want that. You're not getting that. In fact, the best way to go is if you've been to the Dollar Tree lately and you've perused the wealth of goodness, and there's a lot of goodness at the Dollar Tree. Think of something that's on the shelves there, okay? Not something that's on the shelves. It's somewhere else, okay? And there's a good chance you may get it, all right? So something to think about. So birthdays, data sheets next week. We'll be collecting those. Just fun things as we get started. Who needs a Bible tonight? Anybody who you forgot to bring your Bible, you didn't grab it from your locker, just go ahead and raise it up in the air and raise your hand. You don't have a Bible, you can't raise it in the air. Raise your hand, we'll get that to you, no problem. I want you to be able to see the truth of Scripture. I said this once already, but what you are involved in is the Temple Baptist Youth Program. And the Temple Baptist Youth Program has a name. It's called the Impact Program. There's two aspects to the philosophy behind the Impact Program, and that is the Word of God impacts me. And as the Word impacts me, I have a chance to impact, number two, other people. Okay, and so that's what these nights are all about. And I hope that you're sitting there this evening and you're asking the question, Lord, what do you have for me? How is your word going to impact me and where I am at in my life? I think that's a great question to ask. As we look at our thought tonight, this message is going to have two parts to it. One, the first part is going to be a doctrinal, okay, in a sense that we're going to look at some teachings that has been given to us to understand, okay? The second part of it is going to be more practical, and it's the outworking of that teaching here in this place. Now, these are things that we always do at the beginning of the year and sort of gives us a baseline understanding of how we're going to conduct ourselves when we meet and some other things as well. So let's get into this because 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 14 and 15 really are some special verses. And I want us to see here in verse 14 what the Bible says. This is Paul writing Timothy. Paul led Timothy to the Lord. Paul trained Timothy to be a pastor. And now Timothy has gone out from underneath Paul's ministry and is out and he is living for the Lord. He's pastoring a church. And Paul picks up his pen and he has a message for Timothy. Notice what he says in verse 14. He says, these things write I unto you, or thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Okay, so this Paul was a human. He was a human being, and he loved the Lord, and he wanted to see Timothy. Okay, well, what else do we find out here? You notice that he says, but if I tarry long. So, in other words, there's something of urgency here that Paul wants to communicate to Timothy. He says, Timothy, I want to come and see you, and I hope that I get to do that. But there's a chance I may not be able to come and see you. And for that reason, I have something that I want to communicate to you. So there's urgency here. He's going to give something that Timothy needs to understand and do right now. Okay, how many of you understand that there are certain things that maybe your parents tell you to do, but they don't expect you to do it maybe right away? because there's a variety of factors, but there are other things that you know, mom and dad want me to do this, like, now. Okay? Hopefully you have figured that out in your life. There are certain things that I need to know as a homeowner that if I don't, could cause a lot of issues. One of them being knowing where the main water cutoff valve is. Now, maybe you didn't realize this, but there is a main water cutoff valve in your home. Okay, in other words, when you shut it off, okay, the water is not going to be going through your house any longer. Already some of you are getting some ideas about pranks you can play on your parents and family. Don't do that. That's not the purpose of the message tonight, okay? But let's say I was remodeling my master bathroom on the second floor. And we just put in a new vanity, so this was something that I was thinking about recently. And we had to work with some of the pipes there. But let's say that I accidentally just cut the wrong pipe. And all of a sudden, the water is gushing. Okay, it's gushing. All right, it's coming out of the bathroom, water spraying everywhere. Miss Christina comes up and says, "Is everything okay?" "No, everything's not okay." Okay, it would be obvious there would be a problem. And I looked at her and I said, "Babe, we got an issue. Go turn off the main water valve." Now, if she didn't know where that was, that would be a big issue, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if I didn't know where that was, that would be a big issue, okay? My kids would be looking for flotation devices, all right? I mean, it would get bad very quickly, okay? When I encounter a situation in which it involves water that is out of control, action needs to be taken right away or you end up with a big, big problem, okay? That is the type of thing we're talking about here. Paul is saying, hey, listen, there is something that I need to communicate to you, and it can't wait for me to come to you because there's a chance I may not make it. This is something I want you to think about and consider right now. Okay? And under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Lord includes this in Scripture because it's not just important for Timothy, but it's also important for who else? It's important for us. So you're like, Brother Scott, you've built the anticipation. I mean, what is it? Can you just tell us, what is it? Notice the next verse. He says this, "But I tarry long that thou mayest," here it is, a few things he says, "that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just guide our thoughts as we focus on these three elements contained in this verse. And Lord, there's going to be some practical things that we're going to apply to Lord's schedule and activities and things of that nature. But Lord, I know that you can use this verse to challenge us where we're at. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would do that. Lord, there could be someone even here tonight that has no relationship with you at all. They don't know what it's like to live with you in their heart. They don't know what it's like to wake up and know that their sins are forgiven. And Lord, if there's someone here tonight that is that way, I pray, Father, that you'd convict their heart of sin and, Lord, that they would realize that you are a Savior that loves them. Lord, we ask that you would guide us as we consider these thoughts. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so let's look at it here. What does he say? Okay, these are three things that can't wait in regards to what he's saying here, in regards to the church that he mentions. I want you to see, first of all, there is a way to behave at church. Your parents ever looked at you and said, "Hey, behave. Hey, get it together." Okay, maybe you've even been in church and you've heard that from them. Okay, there have been numerous times I've had to communicate this to my children in one way, shape, or form. Sometimes it's just by a subtle hand. Sometimes it's by a raised eyebrow. And sometimes it's, "What are you doing? You know, get off the floor." You know, something like that. But there is a way that Paul says we ought to behave in church. Now, when I was much, much younger and when I was a kid, the things that I thought church was for were one, exploration. Let me tell you, one of the coolest places I think on planet Earth to explore is a church. I mean, just churches are just, they have so many rooms and, you know, artifacts sometimes that are just kind of in and behind closed doors. And I remember as a kid just being fascinated by that. You know, oh, wonder what's in here. Choir practice was a time that I just loved. Not because I was singing, but because my parents were. And they didn't have any place where really the kids were supposed to be like they do here. And so I loved choir time. And it was a big church that I went to as a kid. And so, I mean, you know, as soon as they'd start singing, I'd be on the back row of the auditorium. And then I would just, you know, and I'd leave. I was gone. And I was looking all around. I was open doors. Oh, sorry. You know, I was going all over the place. I mean, they had a school. I would be all over. And I tell you, there is nothing more exciting for a kid than exploring a church, okay? Now, again, notice I said that as a kid, all right? I don't expect everybody, you know, to go looking in closets and that sort of thing around here. But exploration was top on my list. As a, you know, church is about exploration. Church was about art when I was a kid. Anybody else draw pictures when they were a little kid in church? Yeah, I'm telling you, I was really into this, and I thought it was my ministry. I did. I thought it was my ministry to make a picture for the pastor of the church. And I labored over that. I mean, he'd be up there preaching, and I'd be like, I'm going to capture this moment. And he's just going to stand in awe of this picture that I've created. I got really good at drawing the platform, the plants on the platform. I never got good at drawing him, though. I was not good at that. Drawing people, it just didn't work out. And then I would give it to him, and I mean, you would his eyes just be amazed. I'd love to talk to him now because I'm sure he was like, "Oh, that's great." And, you know, he probably threw it away. But I thought church was an exploration. I thought it was about art, and then I thought it was about arithmetic because I used to sit in the pew. And I used to look up sometimes and I'd just start counting things. You ever done that? You just start counting chandeliers, start counting the ceiling tiles, start counting the bulbs in the chandelier. Terrible, terrible ways to distract yourself when I should have been listening. But you asked me as a kid, what is church about? I'm going to tell you about how fun it was to explore, or how awesome it was to draw some pictures of my pastor, or even to count things that I never, if I was given any free time, I would choose to count. But that's not what church is about. And that's exactly what Paul is trying to communicate to Timothy, who was a young person himself. And he says, listen, Timothy, there is a way that you need to approach or behave or act when you're in the house of God. And so we see that. We see that there is a way to behave at church. Number two, I want you to see there is a reason it matters. And Paul says this. Look back at your text there, verse 15. What does he say? But if I tarry long, then thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave. But where? In the house of God. Which is what, Paul? The church of the living God. Hey, and this is why church matters. You say, Brother Scott, listen, okay, the church has had a great run, you know, for the last 2,000 years. But I mean, you know, I mean, have you looked at the times recently? I mean, Brother Scott, church? I mean, are people really still getting excited about church? I am. And you know why? Because it's not just a building. And it's not just a thing or a group of people. It's a church of the living God. Well, let that sink in tonight. Our God is real. We serve a risen Savior. He is the living God. Well, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about how many we could say religious groups that have dead founders, right? They founded that. They said an angel spoke to me or whatever, and they you know were given this religion or set of beliefs, and then they themselves just died. Okay, how many of these religions were started by men that are dead today? Well, the truth is all of them, except Jesus Christ and God the Father, because we serve a living Savior, and it's the church of the living God. You know what that tells me? That tells me He's alive, but He is also relational. Look at verse 16. Look at verse 16 in the same chapter with me. Notice this. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And then notice this. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. You know what that's talking about? God was manifest in the flesh. God came down to us in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ. We serve a relational God. So that means when you come to teen time or you come to church, and hopefully if this is not your home church, you go to a Bible-believing church. When you go to church, you're not just going to be with some people or some community event. You are going to a place that has a risen Savior and a place that is founded by someone who wants to have a relationship with you. God manifest in the flesh, that's Jesus Christ, came to live and dwell among men. Why? Because He loves you and He loves me. So when I sit where you're sitting, or where I sit in the auditorium and somebody else is up there preaching, as I hold the truth in my hand, I can sit there and know that, hey, I'm in a place that is focused on God, and that God wants to have a relationship with me. There are ways that He wants to encourage me. There are ways that He wants to grow me. And so I challenge you, when you come to this place, understand that there's a way that the Lord wants us to approach church. And number two, we ought to come expecting to hear from the Lord, because it's the church of the living God. And then number three, we see it in our text. Look back with me at verse 15. We see number one, there is a way to behave at church. Number two, there's a reason it matters. And number three, notice there is a focal point. Verse 15 says this, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know, these are things that I want you to know now, how that thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. And then notice this, the pillar and ground of the truth. Well, there's a lot of ideas out there today. A lot of people talking about, hey, what is truth? You know, there's a lot of people who say, well, you can't know truth. There's a lot of people that say, well, you know what? I have my truth and you have your truth. And, well, let's just all coexist in that state of confusion. And yet, Paul says, hey, listen, if there is a God and He is a living God, then there is a truth that He wants us to know. And when we come to the church, we're coming to a place that holds high the truth, a pillar. How many of you have maybe in a room in your house, there's a pole or a pillar that is just kind of there in your home? It's a support. How many of you have that? Okay, I have one in my basement. We cover it up. We have one right here in this room. Somebody say, well, I thought that was just for the phone. No, there's a pole coming up through this room. Okay, and what is that doing? That is supporting, right? Well, you're looking at a place and a church that holds high the truth. Boy, Temple Baptist Church and Temple Baptist Youth Group does not want to be known for cool banners. Okay, I think it's cool. You don't have to. Or an awesome-looking piano. I think it's pretty awesome. Or a neat activity. I'd love for you to enjoy the activities, but what I want to come to your mind is to know that when you walk through that door, you are going to get the truth. Because that is what is most important in life. And that is what will help me. So you see these three things tonight. And Paul encourages Timothy, and he says, listen, you know, don't have a laissez-faire approach to when you join with the believers in church. Know that there is a way to enter into that. Know that you're there because of the living God and the fact that He has and wants a relationship with you. And number three, because that church supports and holds high the truth of the Word of God, which the Lord has given to us. So we see these three things. And I hope that as you think down through each one, you'll think about how your approach has been and will be throughout the year in regards to these things. I want to go ahead and mention some things to you that will be helpful for you to remember as we have activities and as we maybe even enjoy time together on Wednesday. And these are just some practical things that will help to remind you with, mind you of, and help you with throughout the year, okay? And these are things that will help you have the best time possible. Number one, one of the biggest impacts to your generation today is technology. And quite frankly, the smartphone that many of you have. Okay, now, I'm not saying that's that's a wicked tool that you have in your hand. Well, if you use it for that, obviously it would be. But it's a tool nonetheless. And so you use your smartphone, but don't let it use you in places like this. So when we're together in teen time, don't be on your phone. Bring your Bible, take some notes, be helped by it, but don't allow your phone to become a distraction from what we're doing. During mega time, you want to use your phone. There'll be time for that. Maybe on visitation, we're on the bus. You want to use your phone for that. That's fine. There will be times where you can use it, but don't allow that to just, you know, drive your existence and interfere with the time that you could be having. Okay, so when it comes to your phone, just keep that in mind. Girl guy contact, we usually don't have issues with this, but nonetheless, we've got to talk about it. There's no reason why you should be having physical contact with a guy or a girl. We've had different situations come up from time to time in which we've had to approach people, but we don't want that to be you. So just in general, no reason, you know, to guys to be reading some girl's palm it was a long handshake, Brother Scott. It's really what it was. OK, you don't have to get into all of that. OK, just don't have any physical contact, guys, with girls. Also, be very mindful about situations. OK, there's no reason why you and if you're a guy and there's a girl, there's no reason why you should be alone in any room. You're really setting yourself up for some type of accusation, and those things can get bad very quickly. So these are just some practical things that will help you while you're here. So your phone, guy-girl contact, take personal responsibility. Sometimes there are friends of my kids that have come over to the house, and there's no personal responsibility whatsoever for their conduct. Things get broken, things happen, and they just go on to the next thing, right? Now, my hope is that as my boys get older and they get older, that will change, okay? But don't be like that, all right? If you spill something, you know, have some initiative, just clean it up. If there's some trash you see around, again, take some initiative. This is your place as much as it is my place and our place. Okay, so don't leave all the trash for Brother Scott to clean up. If you see some trash, just pick it up and take it to a garbage can. On the bus, a lot of times this happens, and you know, the first thing someone says is, "Well, that's not my trash." Okay, well, it's our trash. Okay, so let's all help out together. And take some personal responsibility. Hey, if for some reason there's some type of conflict that arises between you and someone else, you're having a hard time with it, come see me or a youth worker. We'll try to help with that. But again, you can be the bigger person, and you can say, "Hey, wait a second, I'm sorry. You're right. You know, I kicked you when I walked by, or I did something." Take personal responsibility for your actions, and that will really help out our dynamics with each other, whether we're on an activity or whether we're here on Wednesdays together. the youth leaders. I'd like the youth leaders to stand up, if you would, for just a second. And these are really special people to me. Oh, yeah, let's clap. I'm hoping at some point they will give me a shirt so I can be like them. I tried to. No, I had to wear the tie tonight. But listen. All joking aside, these are some very special people, and they are helping in the youth department because they have a heart for this, and they have a heart for you. Okay, I didn't have to twist anybody's arm to be in here. When the last note is played, they're not running out the door screaming, okay? They want to be here because they love you, and they are here to be a blessing to you and to help you, okay? So, and they do a lot, okay? Brother Chase and Brother Nathan help drive for activities. They run scoreboard. They do graphics. They do IT. Brother Sam, the same. The ladies do a lot of behind-the-scenes work, food prep, and I could not even name all the things that these people do that you don't even know about. So let's realize the blessing that they are, okay? Get to know them, okay? Get to know they're actually awesome people, okay? So I hope that you will. This is Brother Sam right here, and those of you who don't know him, and then we've got Brother Chase and Miss Hannah Lund here. They are married. We get that question from time to time. We've got the gardeners here, Miss Erica and Brother Nathan. The Lunds have three children. The gardeners, three. We'll say three. And then, of course, you know Miss Christina and Brother Scott. We have three children as well. So I'm so thankful for them. I hope that you'll get to know them. Listen real quick. If they ask you to do something, please do it. Okay. If they talk to you about something, you probably need to go change. You know, guys, that's not a collared shirt. You need to, you know, the rule. Please just be gracious in that moment. Okay. And do what they say. Don't look at what they're saying as like a suggestion. Okay. They're not suggesting. Okay. They're telling you the action that needs to be taken, okay? So I appreciate the youth workers. You can go ahead and be seated. But I get to know the youth workers. They're really special people, and they do a lot for our youth group and you guys. Be where you're supposed to be, okay? We have transitions. We have several, especially on Wednesdays, okay? Don't be Brother Scott when he was little, wandering down the hallways, hiding behind corners, you know, jumping out, scaring people. Don't do that, okay? Be where you're supposed to be, all right? We want everybody together, and we try to carve things out so we're efficient, but if you're not where you're supposed to be, then it disrupts things, okay? And I start getting emails and phone calls, and I got enough to deal with that. So be where you're supposed to be. Let's see here. A couple other things in regards to teen time specifically. I would just say be ready to start. This is, like I said, it's a sacred time, and it's a time that a lot of work and effort goes into to get ready for tonight. And so if usually there's 10 to 15 minutes after teen choir, plenty of time for you to get your Bible and be in your seat, carve out where you're going to sit. I know sometimes, you know, oh, I'm going to sit over here. Oh, but I'm going to sit over here. Yeah, I know that takes time, but as long as you're thinking about it, you're using the time that you have in an efficient way, that'll be a good thing. So be ready to start. I would say listen during announcement times. I would say everybody did a really great job today. Announcement time is not time for you to, like, check in with the person sitting next door, okay? Like, hey, you know, how's it going? Good, you know. Not the time. All right, announcement is so that you can get information that's important for where you're at. Listen to announcement time. Get involved in game time. We didn't have one tonight, but we'll do games. And Brother Nathan does an awesome job at coming up with some really cool, awesome, unique games that you'll have an opportunity to be a part of, and I hope that you will. Don't leave during the service, okay? Every now and then, you know, people get extra thirsty and, oh, Scott, I don't know what's come over me. I gotta go get a drink of water. Okay, like they've been in the Sahara Desert for a month or something. Okay, don't leave the service. You have 15 minutes. Use the restroom. Get a drink of water. Drink as much water. Well, don't drink as much. That could be counterproductive. But at any rate, do what you need to do and be back in here. We're only in here for about an hour, but it is so distracting when people get up and they leave, and it just causes an issue. Now, I will say this. If there's an emergency, and those do happen from time to time, okay? Usually we know what an emergency is, all right? Now, don't come down with, I got to get a drink of water. That's not an emergency, okay? But for some reason, if there's an issue, then you can dismiss yourself in that moment, okay? Real quick, couple things, and then we got to get the older kids out of here. But special music and testimonies. This is a way for you to get involved and to be a blessing to each other, okay? Appreciate Elijah tonight. Did a great job hopping on the piano, and that blessed our hearts. Listen, if you play an instrument or you sing or you've been practicing with a group of people, talk to a youth worker. We'll get you on the schedule. We'd love for you to be a part of the special music. Also, we'll talk more about testimonies and what qualifies as a testimony and what doesn't, and how long that needs to be, all those sorts of things. But those are things that I love hearing from you guys when you worship the Lord and when you're giving testimonies. You'll have an opportunity to do that. So get involved in game time, get involved in testimony and specials. And then when it comes to the preaching, really challenge you to be engaged. Brother Scott is like the most distracted person on the planet. Okay, this happens 1,000 different ways. All right, I have to make the decision every service to just focus and to like just not go other places in my mind. Okay, and this every Sunday, okay, I sit there. You say, and Pastor is extremely energetic. He's easy to listen to, but Brother Scott's mind wanders, so I have to keep going right back. Okay, and that's what I'm asking you to do when it comes to the preaching. Stay with me. Stay engaged, all right? Stay hungry, all right? Don't use that time to doodle or do something else or to count the lights that are in this room. Please remain engaged during the preaching time. It's the most important time when we're together. Let me just say this. We will have, in the next few weeks, we'll let you know, but we will have a book table available. We've spent all summer acquiring resources, Christian resources that you can purchase. Great books, right where you're at, missionary biographies, journals. A lot of times we have Bibles made available on the book table. If for some reason our inventory is low that particular night and we can't give you that item that you want, you can sign up and we will get it to you. We give these to you at a discounted price. And these are great resources that I wish that would have been available to me as a teenager. So this is important. You need good, godly resources to help you live the life God wants you to right now. And this is a way that you can do that. So we will have a book table, and we'll be connecting you with that in the coming weeks. Okay? All right, that's all I have for us tonight.